Greetings in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord for His mercies to us and for being here with us this morning, for giving the brethren wisdom and a message for us here together this morning. So yeah, just wanted to greet each one of you in the precious name of Jesus and ask that you pray for me, that God would continue to lay upon my heart those things which He would have me share here this morning. I know some time ago, a few weeks back, I went to, my family and I went up north into Canada. And as we were traveling up 90 there toward Buffalo, New York, there's a area of 90 there that has lots of vineyards on the right and on the left. And this goes on for miles. It's a very beautiful area up there close to Buffalo, New York. And these vineyards kind of reminded me of Jesus' parable of the vineyard, the workers in the vineyard in that day. And I could kind of visualize, it must have been like it is today. It was hard to find help. There was not, you couldn't just go out and hire as many people as you wanted to do the jobs that you wanted. It's much like a framing crew today. If they're going to Fort Wayne to work, why, many times they are understaffed and it's hard to find help. And so it was like that, I believe, in that day. And it reminded me of this beautiful vineyard that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 20, where He was talking about those people that came first hour, second hour. And it seems like Jesus had a lesson for us in there about fairness, about being fair. That in itself is not a biblical word, fairness, necessarily, but yet the principle is there. There's a principle in Scripture that talks about that much. So this morning I wanted to look at that, and I have a question first. I was wanting to ask regarding our lives here this morning, all of us together, and everyone you know, is life fair? Can you say this morning that life is fair, or is it unfair? Does anyone have an answer to that question?
It's not fair.
That's right. It's not. That's at least my conclusion. And I believe that we want to look at that in the Scripture today, of what Jesus taught us about how we should equip us and ourselves and our children to be raised in a time when life isn't fair. I think there are some of those vineyards up through there. One of them is Arrowhead Spring, and well, there's a host of them up through there. But beautiful area. And, another thing I'd like for us to consider this morning is when you consider a vineyard, when you consider grapevines, and consider the, we have probably a number of brothers here that know quite a bit about, you could say they have a green thumb. We met one yesterday here at the meeting, Edward Martin. He's very knowledgeable in areas of growing things, and so he has a green thumb. He told us that there's lettuce that can be grown in Haiti. It's called, heat lettuce. Yeah, you can grow it in a hot climate, and so many things like that. But anyway, just thinking of grapes, and the first time I saw a grapevine, my dad always had a grapevine out by the garden, and in the spring he would go out there and he would just trim that thing up, and you would look at it and you'll wonder, that thing was surely die as severe as he has punished that thing or pruned it. It was surely not going to survive. But lo and behold, it had more grapes than ever. But if you let the thing just grow up and say it needs more vines. And then you end up with wild grapes. You end up with no grapes at all, just very puny and small. And so there's something that Jesus was teaching here in Matthew chapter 20 about a principle within, about a principle of life isn't fair, and how am I going to respond? You know, the meaning in Hebrews 12 there for chasten. No chastening seemeth to be joyous. No chastening seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. That meaning there, it means punish severely or to correct. But then it has this phrase, and it says, but after that, these grapes, right at the time, it's grievous when you look at them. They look like they got just destroyed. But then afterwards, there's beautiful grapes. There's fruit for the family. There's fruit for the basement, for the canning, whatever you do with them. And so I think it's much like our Christian life. Sometimes when we get chastened by the Lord and we get to eat, you know, humble pie or whatever it is, it seems like that does something that God wants done in our hearts. It needs to be done in my heart so that we can be productive and fruitful in our walk with Jesus. You know, God is sovereign. An area of life isn't fair. That's the title I'd like to give the message. Is life fair? ? You know, God is sovereign. What does that mean when we say God is sovereign? Am I doing something that's causing that? As far as I know, it's not touching my... Anyway, life... God is sovereign, possessing supreme or ultimate power. And I just looked up some of the meanings of sovereign. And they're interesting to study and think about. But God is very sovereign this morning. He's supreme. He's unlimited. He's unrestrained. He's unrestricted. He's unbounded. There's no bounds. He's boundless, infinite, total, unconditional, full. You know, just the meaning of being full. Paramount, high up. All things are under God's control. Colossians 1:17 says, by him all things consist. So I would like to pray before we go further here. Maybe we could all kneel for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we bow here in your presence this morning, we believe that you teach us in your word that life won't always be fair to us. And you teach us in your word that life, when you were here on earth, those 33 years, you were sinless, spotless, Lamb of God, but yet life wasn't fair. And so this morning, as we consider this, help it to prepare our children for life to come here in this side of eternity. Help us as adults to recognize that when life isn't fair, we have choices to make, how we respond. And I just confess this morning, Lord, that I don't always respond as you would have me to when life doesn't seem fair. And so I just ask that you would give me grace today, give me strength, and empower me to share your word and what you have to say about life being fair, and how that we can look to you for our future. And just forgive us, Lord, we fail. And we just think of many things that we could pray for this morning. We thank you for Jesus, for salvation, for family and health and strength here this morning. And we just pray that you would be with us here and edit the message according to your will and word, Lord, and your sovereignty, Lord, and your ways that are past finding out. I thank you for the brothers here this morning and sisters and families, Lord, just that you would just bless us together here in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe we could sing, maybe Brother John could sing that song, A Principle Within. It's 697. Three verses there. Just thinking about that, you know, I had to think of this, you know, when I was a young boy, and likely yourself as well, there was times when you had this little tractor, and you were happy and going along, and all of a sudden you seen this other, your friend that had this big case 12-row corn combine, and all of a sudden it's like, give that to me. I want this, you know. No, that's not fair. I had it first. You know, that's kind of how we do as children. But yet, we're children of God here this morning. And things change. But yet, when we become adults, sometimes we have the same scenario. Just in different things. In different ways of life. You know, we're just... if we can just allow Jesus to change our heart in these areas of just recognizing that I was perfectly satisfied with this little John Deere tractor until I looked over and saw that large case combine. And then suddenly it was no longer, this little tractor had not near as much meaning. But anyway, yeah, going on here, let's read the text here this morning, Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed which with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them away into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man has hired me. He saith unto them, Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. In other words, I worked hard today. I worked in the hot sun. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto thee this last, even unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? He was saying, I own the vineyard. This vineyard is mine. Can't I do what I want with it? And he said, make sure that your eye is not evil, which basically means that you're not jealous or envious, because I am good. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few chosen. So as I was looking at that passage, by worldly standards, you could say that wasn't really fair. But Jesus, I believe, was pruning his vineyard. He was pruning the vineyard of your heart, my heart, and also in the parable here. He was testing them. Who owns the vineyard? Did you not agree for a penny? And now that, you see that others are going to receive more than yourself for less labor, you're going to be dissatisfied. Goes back to, that's not fair. And I believe that there's also a buzz phrase in our society today. You know, it used to be, and it still is, don't judge me. Don't judge me. But today it seems like there's a big push in our society of, that's not fair. This isn't fair. And, and just really using that as a platform to gain some publicity or whatever it is to get your case out there. People do that on airlines all the time. They get on an airline and they don't get treated like they think they should. And so they go to the media and say, I wasn't treated fairly on Southwest Airlines, and let's make an article, and that's the buzzword of our society. It's the battle cry of our society, fairness. But I think we need a principle within, in order to rise above this type of thing. And let's look at here what Paul said in Colossians 4:1 about fairness. He said, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Another word for equal is fair. My Bible has the word fair there. Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. I know this morning that we are called to be fair. We are called to be stewards of God's grace. And to have that principle within. I thought of, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that talks about this a little bit. It says in 9:11, it says, I have observed something under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. David and Goliath this morning. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not always wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It's all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. Now, I know what Paul meant there. He wasn't talking about luck. He was talking about the sovereignty of God. He was talking about God being sovereign and the laws of reaping and sowing. I'm not sure what I'm doing here that's causing that to muffle. But okay, that better? Okay, sorry about that. But it's basically the laws of reaping and sowing, and it's also the sovereignty of God that has, He has a plan for me, and He chastens me at times. And He does things for you and I to keep us on a straight and narrow path. And so we don't always understand those things altogether, but we know God has a plan. Isaiah 11:5 says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins." You know, the another translation says, "Fairness is part of God's character. He will be clothed with fairness and with truth." Isaiah 11:5, another version there. And Isaiah 33:15 to 17 says, "Those who are honest and fair, who refuse to profit by fraud, who stay away from bribes, and who refuse to listen to those who plot murder, who shut their eyes to all enticement to do wrong, those are the ones who will dwell on high. The rocks of the mountains will be their fortress. Food will be supplied to them, and they will have water in abundance. Your eyes will see the king in all his splendor, and you will see a land that stretches into the distance." Isaiah, that was Isaiah 33:15 to 17. So we know that God is a fair God, but yet life doesn't work that way for us. It doesn't seem that way for us. And so I wanted to look at just something I was thinking about here as I was studying this. When we strive too hard to be fair, we end up teaching our children, ourselves, that we deserve the same treatment as others. And that can cause a lack of contentment and an inability to rejoice at the happiness or prospering of others. Weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. So it comes back to, as a child growing up, learning that it doesn't seem fair, but it's okay if someone has a large case combine and I have this little John Deere tractor. It's a principle within that can help us through much of our life in our Christian experience. Another person said, "Fairness is not treating everyone the same, but everyone getting what they need." You know, just like everyone in this room, you all have a need of something. So if I would give every one of you the same thing, that wouldn't meet all the needs. It would be, you know, like if John over here needed a new disc bind or whatever, you know, and if I gave him a new planer, he would have no use for it. Because that's maybe something I could use, or, you know, so that's the type of thing that Jesus is teaching here, I believe, about being fair.
In Matthew 18, 22, Jesus talked about forgiveness. And he said 7 times 70. Does that sound fair to you and I here this morning? That we would have to forgive someone 7 times 70, 490 times in a day. And yet we know that we would be blessed if we did that. But that's not a number, but it's a fullness. It's a heart. That doesn't seem fair to do that because we think, well, he or she should learn something. And that could be true. That is true. However, the principle within my heart is what I'm talking about. Fairness in the Webster says an impartial and just treatment or behavior without favoritism or discrimination. And justice is another word that comes close alongside of it. And it says a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. You know, being just. Justice is a godly concept. God is just. And it's also the moral character of God. Fairness is often about how I think or how I feel. If we noticed in Matthew chapter 20 here, those people were coming and it was about how they felt more than that it was not fair. They felt slighted because they labored in the hot sun for the whole day and they got the same pay as someone that came the last half hour. Just like Brother Mark, the other evening we had we were trimming here, and some of us came at 4 o'clock, and I think Cleet came early in the morning at 9 o'clock, and some of us came at 3 p.m, and Mark he came about 7:30 or 8, and we all got to eat supper, and so you know that was fair, you know, but it could be looked at as unfair. But those are just things that God wants to do in my heart here this morning. You could say justice says the law is the law, and fair looks at the details that surround a situation. Why are we where we're at, type of thing. So those are just things that I was thinking about in the area of being fair. And I was thinking about these two women that came to Jesus, or came to Solomon in 1 Kings 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we all know the story of there was two women that came to Solomon, and they both had given birth. And during the night, one of their babies died. 1 Kings 3:16. And so they were wanting fairness. 1 Kings 3. And Solomon had much wisdom for them. Then there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, O my Lord, I send this woman. I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass that on the third day after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child upon my bosom. And when I arose in the morning, I gave my child suck. Behold, it was dead. And when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living son, the living is my son, and the dead is thine. And this said, No. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So there was an argument. There was a debate here about whose was whose. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two. and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, My Lord, give her the living child, and it is no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. See, there was no consideration there. And then Solomon answered wisely, and he said, Give her the living child, and no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. So we can see that that Solomon had great wisdom with these two ladies that came together, and they were debating about what is fair. And it was the Lord gave Solomon wisdom there to do that. God expects fairness in business transactions, I believe, in Proverbs 16:11. The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. He established this principle. There needs to be a principle within that allows us to be motivated in that way. So let's talk a little bit about some of the greatest injustices that have happened on this earth. According to Josephus, that Jewish war in 70 AD, there's a book on that is quite amazing. I think 1.1 million people died in Jerusalem of non-combatants. They weren't even fighting. 1.1 million. There was 100,000 in Galilee, and 97,000 were made slaves in that Jewish war in 70 AD. What an awful thing. A great injustice that happened. We can think of the ancient bloodthirsty Romans and their love of being entertained and the killing of Christians, the gladiators. Think of the saints that were slaughtered and eaten alive by lions. Great injustice. That Jewish war was primarily between the Romans and the Jews. There was awful bloodshed, and there's much that could be said about the injustice of that. How there was cannibalism and awful things happened. The Holocaust, World War II, 6 million plus Jews were murdered, gas chambers, firing squad, just awful things, stripped of their clothing and goods and put in gas chambers. Just very awful things to think about. And that wasn't fair, was it? You could say that wasn't fair. What about the 40 to 50 million abortions that happen in the U.S. every year? Is that fair? I had to think of, there was a sitting president back in 1801. Does anybody know who it was? That he had this quote, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. And that his justice cannot sleep forever. Does anybody know what president that was? 1801? Thomas Jefferson said that. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. That fits in our day, doesn't it? Then I want to talk about the greatest. Those were awful, awful injustices. But the greatest injustice was Jesus Christ being crucified in this life, in this world for our sins. Jesus could have cried on the cross. That's not fair. And it would have been true. It would have been true. Let's read a passage there in Matthew chapter 27. Considering Jesus and the crucifixion there. Matthew 27:32. And they came out, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place which is called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar and drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments, and among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." They took the clothing off of Jesus, and they, you could say, threw the dice for it, who would get it. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head the accusation, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And when there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and one the other on the left, and they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." That just jogged my memory, going back to that war of 70 AD. I read that scripture, that prophecy that Jesus said. He said there will, on this temple in Jerusalem, he told his disciples one day, he said, "There will not one stone be left upon another, but these will all be destroyed." And I wondered why that was. I've wondered at times what would have been the purpose of that, since they likely didn't have atomic bombs or bombs of that nature. But as you read that book and story on the Jewish war, there was greed involved there. They had interlaid the rocks and the mortar with gold, with pure gold. And it was men that went in there after it was destroyed and broken down, and they literally broke apart every piece to get the little piece of gold out and take it with them. And that's what prompted them to go through that. He said, "Not one stone will lay upon another." And that was a prophecy, and it happened in 70 AD. And verse 41, right here it is. It's saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And he was talking about his own temple, the temple of his body, I believe. "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, and the scribes and elders said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and he will believe him. We will. And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calleth for Elijah.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.'" The hardness of heart there is just mind-boggling. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Truly, this was the Son of God, was the testimony of those that stood by. So just think of that great injustice. And yet he gave us a free gift of salvation here this morning. Is that fair? That we sit here this morning and we can enjoy salvation through Jesus Christ and the millions who do not yet know. Isaiah 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Think of that. He opened not his mouth. He could have said, I want 10,000 legions of angels to come and deliver me speedily, and it would have happened. He could have called on the Lord, his Father in heaven, and would give him anything he wanted, but he died for you and I freely, willingly. And as you think of these that mocked him, derided him, plucked the beard hairs from his chin, spit upon him, he made the very heart that it was beating in their chest. He made them, and yet they were mocking and making fun of him. And yet he allowed it because he saw that great salvation. He saw you and I, and he willingly died for us. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. He never sinned with his mouth, you could say. Jesus Christ, he had a principle within that through the Holy Spirit, he can give us that principle this morning. An empowerment to live above when life isn't fair. There's a story I can remember as I was growing up. When I was probably after my dad had passed away, when I was almost eight, I went to live with my grandparents. I learned a lot of interesting things while I was there. They had a farm, and so I would go out in a cow stable in the morning and help milk, and I learned a lot of very interesting things. But as I look back at that, speaking about a principle within, speaking about being fair, my uncles would come out and milk, and the third youngest of my mom's siblings, he came out one morning to milk, or was it evening, I'm not sure. Anyway, he was sitting down, and we had these stanchions that the cows would stand in, and then they had a wire that would go along the back to hold the tails. Had a little clamp on it, and you would take the tail up and clamp it on. And you'd sit down and milk, put hobbles on. And he was a very likable one of my uncles, and he was always very kind and friendly to me. But he had this little problem that he couldn't take things when it got kind of tough, and he would just walk away or run away, whatever. And but anyway, this one evening, as we were milking, this cow had a tail, and it was loaded with wet brown juice. And he was bucket was almost full of milk, and he was milking. And all of a sudden, his tail came loose and came around the back and came around the side and splat right on his face. And he just about, he sat there momentarily in shock, and that just in a moment's notice, he got up, took the whole bucket of milk, and went to the outside door in the barnyard and just dumped the whole bucket. And he left. I don't know where he went, but I just remember seeing that. And I can't blame him. I can say I can't blame him. That was an awful thing to experience with brown, juice dripping down your face and hot flies or flies buzzing and hot weather. But anyway, that was, that didn't seem fair to him, so he left. But there needs to be a principle within. Jesus talked about that, something very similar to that in Matthew 5:38. He talked about being slapped on the face. And by the way, I'm not putting any judgment on my uncle, but I just wanted to use it as an illustration. Matthew 5:38, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall resist Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Okay, thinking about this, you know, there's something that it's one thing to get, you know, smacked up alongside the on one side like this, turn away. But it's another thing to turn back and bless that individual. That's another level, and it takes a principle within. And I didn't make the principles or apply or write them, but they're in the Word of God. And does that mean that I can personally or you personally be able to get everyone perfect? No, I don't think that's what that's saying this morning. But Jesus is lifting up a high standard of what we are able to do in Christ this morning. And he was able to do that when he was crucified. He was able to do that and be victorious. And it does take a principle within to do that. So this morning we can visualize ourselves, you know, in the field of life. You know, we're the size of our toys change as we grow older, but the principle is still there. That's not fair, or this isn't fair in life. So may the Lord help us as we consider that this morning. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Luke 6:27-8 says, "But I say unto you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." Romans 12:20 says, "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink." You know, it's our feelings that get a little in the way at times. I know, like, you know, yesterday, I usually get calls about things that happen to people. And I don't usually get calls about things that happen to buildings. But I did get a call like that yesterday. And Brother Martin called and he said, we have a problem here at the church. And I was like, a problem? You know, I was thinking of a person or something, but not a building. And yeah, and it, you know, I have to say, you know, some of those things that just kind of, you know, it can cause our feelings to kind of sag a little bit. But we don't have to allow that to make us discouraged. And thank the Lord for Brother Martin heeding the Spirit and coming over here and checking that out. And the Lord spared us from a certain a bad ending there, I believe, this morning. And so thank the Lord for that. But our feelings sometimes get in the way, and we know that God wants to help us with that. You know, just to get on our knees and pray for the person who carelessly, you know, his neglect has caused me pain or you pain. To go get a gift for someone who has mistreated you. And to bless those who curse you. It's a principle within, a different standard than what humanity, you know, that lower nature that comes out when we get a tail that's flung in our face. That lower nature wants to come up and rise up. But the new nature can say, you know, it's okay. Are you returning good for evil? Are you blessing rather than cursing? The word bless here means, it means speak well of. Blessing those who speak negative about you. And then laying aside of the weight of I don't feel like it. You know, there's times when I get up to go somewhere and do something that I know the Lord wants me to do, and I have this temptation of I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. And that the Lord would deliver us from those feelings and to align our hearts with His. And so I want to thank all of you for listening and praying. And I also was thinking of yesterday, you know, what a blessing to be in a brotherhood where when something like that happens, we just make a few phone calls. Mark called a few brothers and there was a bunch of people here to help in a short time. And I trust there'll be more here tomorrow to help restore and whatever's needed there. And so may the Lord bless you all.